Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining. My name is Scott McKenzie, and you know that because you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We've got a great show. I mean, I really am. You know I'm all about sales, marketing, branding, because you need to do that because you're innovating. We always got to find out new ways of selling, new ways of branding, new ways of marketing. We got a great interview with Andrea Freirer. That's F-R-Y-R-E-A-R. Agile Sherpas for company. And I'm all about speed. So let's get going with that interview. Thank you very much for joining. Agile. Don't you like that name? That's a pretty cool name. I like Sherpas. She just happened to put both together, Agile and Sherpa together. How about that for insights? But anyway, you know I'm all about this. This platform is dedicated to you, the professional, and we're going to continue to pump you with content that will make you a success and finding people that can add value to what you're doing, right? Before we get in that interview, let's talk a little bit about ARMS Reliability. That's A-R-M-S. Reliability, and they're the ones that are bringing this podcast to you right now. You're saying to yourself, Scott, why do I care about ARMS Reliability? You know, you care about ARMS Reliability because they're a leader in reliability. Asset management, reliability, all of the stuff that keeps that asset up and running. Now, they have a conference called Reliability Summit. Put this down on your calendar. Do not miss this. That's March 31st through April 3rd. It's just right around the corner. And it's in Austin, Texas, and it's the Reliability Summit. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, why do I care about that? Well, first off, you get a free book when you register. Not just any book. You get a book that's published by a gentleman by the name of Jason Apps. Jason Apps. And if you know Jason, he knows his stuff. Asset Strategy Management is the book's name. You pick it up when you arrive at that conference. And you're saying to yourself, okay, that's pretty cool. I like that. It's getting better. You get $600 off of that conference. Yeah, $600 off. As a listener, you get $600 off. As a listener, you get a book. Not only that, as a listener, you sign up, you get a free podcast. You get to jump on the Industrial Talk Podcast and tell your story of why you're an incredible professional or company. And not only that, we're going to put it out there and we're going to promote it on the Industrial Talk Podcast, and we are also going to promote it out on Safety with Purpose Podcast. You're saying, well, Scott, that's fan-frickin-tastic. And I said, absolutely, but it doesn't stop there. We're going to give you a free marketing assessment of your company and where you can improve. No strings attached. We just want you to be a success. And because you're an innovator and because you're always, you know, pushing that envelope, trying to change the world, that's what we're all about. We'll just, you know, bring the truth bombs to you on that assessment. And then finally, you get 1 month free access to the Industrial Academy. And you're going to say, why do I want to do that? Because you need to continue to learn about marketing, sales, and branding with an industrial twist. And it's all out there on the Industrial Academy. You've got to, once again, put this down, Reliability Summit. That's March 31st, April 3rd, Austin, Texas. And man, I'm telling you, man, that's a basket full of goodies. Great industrial goodies being offered to you. Just all you got to do is sign up. Okay, and all that information is going to be out on industrialtalk.com and associated with, you know, podcasts going forward. So there's no excuse why you can't find out. Okay, on to the interview. Andrea Freirer. She's passionate about it. I love her energy. She's got some real, you know, nuts and bolts when it comes to how to market, how to brand, how to do all of that stuff. But with her, it's about speed. It's about laying it out. It's about tracking. It's about all of the nuts and bolts that you need to know about when you are marketing your company. So enjoy this conversation because she is an absolute, you know, geez, a dynamo when it comes to this. So enjoy. All right, Andrea Freirer. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Okay, listeners out there, we have a delightful interview with a young lady. I can call you a young lady. You're not offended by young lady, right? No,
you're not. I'll hold it back. I'll hold
back.
Okay,
don't be offended. Okay. She's co-founder of Agile Sherpas. That's with an S. Go out to agilesherpas.com. You know what we're going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about agile marketing, and you need to know about agile marketing. Just FYI, this is a pen and paper opportunity for you guys, you listeners out there, to learn something very special. So, all right, Andrea, how was that? Is that okay? I did okay on that one for you.
That was very good. I'm excited. I'm ready to know what's going to happen now.
That's right. That's right. Hey, why don't you give us a little background? I've been out to your stat card on LinkedIn. You got some serious skills. Let the listeners know a little bit about who you are, why you're such an incredible professional, and then we're going to go into the pen and paper segment of the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. I am essentially paid to be an agile nerd. I geek out about agile process day in and day out, and I help my fellow marketing professionals sort out how this works for them in particular. If you've ever heard of agile or maybe even lean manufacturing, these are things that emerged in different industries to help deal with waste and inefficient ways of getting things done.
Right? But you're taking that same sort of concept principle and you're applying it to marketing.
Exactly.
I like that a lot. And boy, do we need it, because there's a lot of shiny marketing objects out there that you can sort of waste your time, money, and energy on.
Right. You can chase them until you fall over.
I be one of those, man. So if you have any questions, I guarantee you, I tried that application out. I did it and I didn't like it.
The review is done. He didn't like it.
That's right. Yeah. I know it's a combination of, well, am I proud of that or am I embarrassed by it? I think I'm more just, I'm sort of proud of it because, well, you don't have to go through the same pain. All right. So, once again, we're going to be talking about agile. So you manufacturer listeners out there that I think you can probably put yourself in. There is a lot of waste. There's a lot of stuff that goes on within marketing, sales, branding, all of that whole to try to generate attention and revenue. There's a lot of waste in there. Boy, there is a huge amount of waste. So we're going to talk a little bit about agile marketing. Why don't you, in sort of a simple way, to define a little bit about agile marketing. What is that?
Yeah. So it's moving away from this old style of planning your work where it's January. So we show up and we make this massive planning document that covers everything we're going to do for the next 12 months. And then heads down, we're going to go and do that no matter what. And it's probably going to take us 6 or 8 months before we really even have anything done. And then we put it out and we cross our fingers and we hope that it was the right thing to do. If it was, we'll get a big boom, a big lift. If it was not, we have now wasted 3/4 of the year and nothing good has happened. And so Agile says, how about you work for a little while and then show that to someone and see what they think and then inspect and adapt and do that much more quickly over the course of the year.
There's another side of me that says, wow, I've been there too. And I've actually lived that. And then come, you know, third Q3 and it's on the shelf right there. That whole little marketing strategy is on the shelf. It's right there. And nobody opens it up. Nobody cracks it open. But for whatever reason, the next year comes around, we're going to do it again.
And do it again.
And again.
That's what we do.
Yeah. It's stunning. It is absolutely stunning. So that is an interesting approach. I like it. So listeners out there, that's especially today, right, Andrea?
Yeah.
I mean, today you can pivot fast.
Right. It's not something you could do when it was all radio and television and print. You couldn't get away with it back then. But now it's all digital. It's so easy to iterate. There's no excuse not to adjust process to reflect the kind of work that we're doing.
It's interesting because cultures are they're resistant to it. It's I don't know what it is, because for me personally, I know that if I'm not producing stuff that I'm thinking in my head, got to get it out, see how it is, adapt, adjust, do it again, improve, adapt, and be able to sort of track that information, that data, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, it's fascinating with some of the clients we work with. If they're in a very traditional industry, it's very hard to change that mindset. It feels very risky to put things out because they're averse to any kind of failure. Even if it's this tiny, like this email campaign didn't have as good of an open rate as the last one, that feels really scary, but that's actually a good thing because now we've learned something that doesn't work as well, and we won't do it again. This is a good thing, but it takes some time to kind of build up the failure muscle and make it work.
And that's interesting because really what we're talking about, failure in general is sort of a construct. I mean, do you really, because you don't get as many clicks on that, whatever, is it a failure? I mean, it's just like, well, maybe I could adjust it a little bit, put a video in it or whatever it might be. It's just a data point. It's not a pass, fail, whatever. It's not a failure.
Right. It's directional. You know, it's showing us what direction to head next.
That's it. Exactly correct. And it's weird because I find people overthink things.
Oh, yeah. My favorite acronym for clients that get hung up on this, like, well, it has to be perfect stuff, is GEFN, G-E-F-N, good enough for now. And then when you're doing Agile, the great thing is you have visibility into what's up next. And so you can always keep coming back around. It can be good enough for now, and then you can go back to it and iterate and improve it if it's doing well. And if it's not doing well, great. We only spent a couple of weeks on it. We'll walk away from it. And it's not a big waste of time and resource and budget.
I absolutely love it. And you're speaking my language just because I like speed. I like the ability to be able to at least move forward. And I would imagine just in general, before we really go into the nuts and bolts, but I would imagine at the end of the year, if you apply the Agile principles that we're going to be talking about, you're going to probably make greater progress in that marketing and whatever that strategy was at the beginning of 2020, you're going to make greater progress and you'll see it as opposed to that static, whatever that marketing plan or whatever that document would be. I would imagine that's the case.
Yeah, it's exponential because if you think about it, our quarterly plan even only gives us 4 times a year to optimize our efforts. Yeah. But if we're releasing every couple of weeks, we've just upped the metabolism so much faster. So you're doing every couple of weeks instead of every 3 months.
Yeah.
You're reviewing things 26 times a year instead of 4 times a year. So the opportunity for improvement just goes through the roof.
And I would imagine just market trends in general, market behaviors, and especially in industry, it changes so quickly. What you think worked today, and it might have worked today, might not work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But you if you're not in an agile type of mind or a process, then you won't see it. You're on a quarterly basis. You won't see those changes in the market. You're sort of a looking behind you, latecomer, that type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You're always looking in the rearview mirror and you can't see what's coming ahead.
All right. For the listeners out there, Andrea, what you had me at Agile. You did. You really had me at Agile Marketing, you know, to steal a move. They didn't have that. But anyway, you had me at Agile Marketing. What do I need to do? If I had my business hat on, what do I need to do to sort of begin that process, to begin to deploy those principles within my marketing organizations?
Yeah, the nice thing about it is it can feel really intimidating to get from super traditional marketing to this hyper release agile mode, but there's some simple things you can do to get started. And so the first thing is to create visibility around all the work that you could be doing. Because when you're releasing often and moving at this faster pace, you need to know you're doing the right work at the right time. And so the tool that lets us do this, it's called a backlog in Agile, but essentially it's a prioritized to-do list. High priority stuff is at the top, low priority stuff is at the bottom. And it's a lot of work. Like it covers for a team, if we're talking about a team of, you know, 5 or 7 marketers together, they've got a quarter's worth of work out there. But now it's not just a big nebulous blob. It's really clearly prioritized. So I want to do this first top item until it's done, and then I'm going to come back and do the second one, and so forth and so on. And it's also really flexible. So this week, I'm going to take a look at my backlog and say, yep, this is definitely the highest priority activities for the week. Off we go to do them. And then with the start of next week, we might say, ooh, we got some data back on this campaign performance. So iterating on that campaign now has become the top priority item, and the backlog will reshuffle to take in those new pieces of information.
Are there tools that, you know, whatever tools are available to create a backlog? Because what you're talking about is something somewhat dynamic. If you are in an agile world, you need to have that dynamic data collection, move, reprioritize. Everybody's like, okay, because you can't just sit in a conference room on Monday and say, okay, let's look at our backlog. That doesn't work.
Yeah. You do need to have it like out in a way where everyone can see it. There are tons of digital tools. I use Trello. My little team at Agile Sherpas, there's only five of us. We use Trello. It's very lightweight and easy to use. It's a lot like if you actually put sticky notes on a wall, it would feel like a digital version of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good place to start. And it gives you that feeling of like, I just drag and drop things around and then they're reshuffled, which is nice. A lot of people try to use Excel or something like that. I'm not a fan. So I would go to Trello before I would try anything
it's
like
2020.
That.
It's 2020. We don't need Excel in this particular case. So we've all been living through those tools. Let's try Trello.
Yeah, it's a good New Year's resolution is stop using Excel for things you don't need it for.
Or a priority list. Yeah. Because there's now how do you because number one is important, but that number one there's a lot of effort and energy to come up with that list, mm-hmm. that prioritization list of activities. How do you get everybody to say, yep, that's number one. Yep. That's number two. Yep. That's number three.
Yeah. So you could waste a lot of time arguing if you try to do this sort of by committee. So ideally you have some sort of team leader role whose job it is to be the final decision maker.
Uh-huh.
And so they've got a good eye towards, all right, these are our marketing objectives for the year. Like these are the big five things we're trying to accomplish. Uh-huh. So I'm going to prioritize this list according to those objectives.
I agree because let's say I have the boss hat on, whatever that is. I'm the head, you know, honcho. I'm going to come up and I'm saying that's a priority. That's a priority. That's a priority. And in essence, I can debate a little bit of the minutia, but I have sort of bigger visions and I'm working with other people and I get a sort of a more global look at it. But
yeah.
But
and
once
it's really
again,
nice. Go ahead.
But once again, it's agile. You could always just like that, and I can change it around.
Yeah, for sure. As new information comes up, definitely. And it's really nice for the team actually to have that thing taken off their plate. Because then they just show up and they say, look, this is the top priority. Boom, I'm going to go and get it done. And I don't have to negotiate with a stakeholder or argue internally with myself about whether this is actually the work I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. All I do is go and like do amazing work. All day.
And per your agile philosophy, that's efficient. All I have to do is come on in. I pick data. That's the next thing. This is what we're going to be doing. But I can take care of it. And I don't have to have conversations with, I can pretty much live in my little cubicle and do my work.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so then as the work gets started, right, I've showed up and I've grabbed a hold of things and these are my activities for the day. The next step in the process is to create focus while you're actually doing the work. And people have probably seen like a Kanban board. Trello is a good
Whoa. You just said something about a board. I don't even know how to spell that. But
It's just the stages the work goes through. It could be super easy, like to do, doing, and done. It could be as easy
as
what
did you call that board?
Kanban, K-A-N-B-A-N. No, this is from you guys' world for sure. This is the Toyota manufacturing. This is where it comes from.
Yeah, I got it. But it's funny.
You got it back there?
Well, I got creating continuous flow.
Oh, there
it's,
you go.
It's all there. Yeah. But it's funny because I would have never spelled that right.
Just really?
Heck no. Me?
It's Japanese. So.
I know. Yeah. I know. I was talking to somebody that's the same. Never mind. Trust me. Thank goodness for a spell check.
Right. So you've got your board, right? Nice, simple board. It could be to do, doing, done if it's for one or two people. Maybe you have stages, right? Like it's creation and then editing and then publishing, whatever things have to happen for the work to get out the door. Those are your columns on your board.
It does Trello just because I always get into the point where I got to put that someplace. I'm not going to put it in an Excel or I'm not going to.
Don't do it.
So you can have that level of functionality within that tool as well.
Yes, for sure. Okay, you just label your column with whatever it needs to
good.
Be.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay. And then the work flows across there. And now we've increased visibility as well, because we can say, all right, look, Andrea's doing this much and Scott's doing this much and Melissa's doing this much, right? And so forth and so on. And now we can see, oh, I've got capacity to help you, or I'm super overloaded. Don't give me any more to do this week. And we can get insight into how that's being distributed around the team.
I have to ask the question about, okay, so you're going through this process. You've got your backlog. You've got your Kanban board. Absolutely. And you got the workflow. You see it, you understand. Where does sort of that loop back into data? Because it's all great. You're producing, and you got to get some sort of real feedback onto the effectiveness of whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I've seen some teams who will actually put like an analyzing column, and the work will stay there while they're collecting data about it. And it might be a week or it might be a month, depending on what the activity was and how long they need it to run before they know if it's working.
Right.
And then once they've collected the data, that might trigger a new card to be created. So like, that campaign worked really well. Good. Let's optimize other campaigns based on how that worked, or that really sucked. So let's adjust priorities to not do that work, that type of work again.
And in the case of just what we're talking about, is that the individual or the team evaluating that and analyzing the data, is that all a part of the, or is that some sort of separate entity? How do you structure that?
You could have a specialist on the team that's the data person, and that's their responsibility to kind of own that column, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, because I could see how if you have multiple campaigns going at once, you don't want to have, you want them to focus and then have that ability to be able to say, hey, I've looked at that, this one's good, this one, based off of these parameters, boom, modify, and then you can have that conversation on how to improve the effectiveness, whatever the metric would be.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, just real quick. All right, listeners, pen and paper. Once again, we want to create visibility into the work creation. That's the backlog plan, the list, as well as then we want to create a board, a workflow of where it stands in the sort of the workflow process, or a Kanban
yes,
board. Very so good. Look at it, okay? And do you have a third one?
Yes. We got to go for the odd numbers, right? That's what the memorable list.
It's either 3 to 5, and I will not violate that for whatever reason. I will never violate it.
Yep. So the third thing then is to make sure that we are checking in with one another regularly. So the meeting is called a daily stand-up, and it's very self-explanatory. We every day, ideally every single day, the team gets together and we stand up to encourage us to be very brief in our updates.
I love that approach.
Yep. And it's 15 minutes in and out, boom, boom. We just talk about, all right, let's look at the board and what did I do yesterday? Like here's the cards I moved. Here's what I finished. Here's what I started. This thing got stuck and I really need help with it, whatever the issues are. And everybody on the team gives that little update. And then we can say, great, we're on the same page. Off we go to do more work for the rest of the day.
I love it. I really do. And I would imagine just based off of what we talked about, it's a cultural thing. You're going to have to sort of embrace it. That's a whole other conversation. But when you do say, hey, I'm all on board and I want to be able to do it, it would seem to me it wouldn't be that difficult to begin to stand it up relatively fast.
Yeah.
And just say, okay, this work's going to sort of stay over here in the old way we do things. Then we just sort of pull out this work and we're going to do this. And we can stand it up relatively quick and then begin to feed it. You're the professional. I would approach it that way because culturally, you're talking about a big change.
As quickly as possible, I push the teams that I coach to get it all into Agile, like put it all on the board. Because if you've got some on the board and some kind of happening in the background somewhere, we lose a bit of that prioritization. Yeah. Yeah. We can't see everything together.
Yeah.
But as you know, sometimes yes, it's a transitional, you know, phase. A new project is starting, so we're going to put that on the board, and then eventually everything moves over.
Being an industry, it's always transition. It's a big word, an overused word, but it happens all the time. We transition everywhere.
Nice.
We like it. Now, the ultimate objective what we just got done talking about is the ability to truly be, have the ability to adapt, be nimble, to be able to respond to market conditions in a very efficient and agile way.
Yes, absolutely. We see it all out there now, so we can make intelligent trade-offs about what we're doing. And my absolute favorite agile phrase is maximize the amount of work not done. So you focus on the important stuff and getting it all the way over to done before you start a whole bunch of new things. So what you'll find is it's very easy for your like doing column on your board to have like 30 items in it, and then none of them ever make it over to done, because we can't actually do 30 things at the same time. No. So we need to use that visual cue to say, we're overloaded. Let's finish some of this and get it off of the board before we start anything new.
And really the ultimate objective too, outside of the efficiency component, is to really bring in revenue, learn about more opportunities, create greater attention to whatever you're doing, whatever it might be, but in a much efficient and faster way.
Right, right. And it's by doing less, we end up doing more, ironically, because we create focus on the activities, and it's higher value. It's more likely to deliver revenue, attention, the things that marketing is actually there to provide, instead of marketing tends to get stuck on our little hamster wheel, right? We do the same thing because we always do this every week, every quarter, but it may or may not be actually delivering results. And we can start to see that when the workflow gets out in the open.
I like it. I like it. Her name is Andrea Freirer, and that is F-R-Y-R-E-A-R. She's the co-founder of Agile Sherpas with an S. Okay, Andrea, are you pretty active out there on LinkedIn?
I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. Yes, you can find me there very easily.
Yeah, I would imagine. And then also, you listeners out there, you know I'm going to have every possible connection out on her podcast out on industrialtalk.com. And anything else that you can possibly imagine. So there is no excuse for you not connecting with Andrea. Does that wrap it up pretty good? That's agile marketing.
Agile marketing in a nutshell. I'll give a link as well to a getting started guide if you want like the little ebook version to follow along with some of this. Oh. I'll provide that for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. We're shameless when it comes to free stuff. Why would we? All right, you listeners out there, that is Andrea. Reach out to her. She's active on LinkedIn. I will have all of her other, she's on Facebook and she's out there. She's everywhere because she's in marketing. Why?
Because I'm a marketer. That's why we do.
it wouldn't be a very good conversation. Well, I like to do billboards. It's like, All right. Thank you. You listeners, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. So thank you very much for joining. We'll talk to you in a few.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
You see what I mean? But Andrea Freirer, she knows exactly what she's talking about. She is an asset. She's dedicated to your success. She is passionate about you. Agile Sherpas, her company. All of the links will be out there on industrialtalk.com. Associated with this particular podcast, everything you need. She wants to talk to you. She's fantastic. As well as, remember, we've got the Reliability Summit right around the corner. You got a few, you got a month and a, you got a little while, but it's March 31st through April 3rd. That's in Austin, Texas. If you're a reliability professional, if you are looking into asset management, any of those professions, you need to connect with ARMS Reliability and the Reliability Summit. Get out there and get all your free goodies associated with it as per the first part of this particular podcast. And as for me, I've got a series out there of why you need a podcast. No strings attached. You either do it or you find somebody to do it, but you need to bring that in as a part of your marketing, sales, and branding mix. There's no question about it. You got to do it. That link will be out there too. Landing page, everything there. Easy peasy. Find out more. Thank you. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what this platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial professional. Thank you very much for joining. Be safe, and we'll talk later.